For more information about Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Tygon's teaching, please visit us at ancientdragon.org.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My wife and I lost a dear friend last night. She was a dachshund named Pickle. She was 14. And my wife had had her since she was a puppy. I showed up about halfway through her life. And as my wife said a couple of days ago, she taught her how to be a human being. She taught me a lot about Zen. And about life and death. So, as you know, some people have great spirits. Maybe they get called Mahatma. That's what Mahatma means. Mahatma Gandhi. He was called Mahatma because he was a great spirit. So I think some animals are like that too. We all have our capacity, and whether that capacity is great or small, it's the whole. It's the whole thing. So I'm not making judgments here. I just am pointing out that I think some people and some animals have great capacity, and I think Pickle was like that. I've had a lot of dogs, and I've known a lot of dogs, and I loved every single one. I've never met a dog I don't love. I'm a dog person. But this dog was special. And she went through a lot in this life, you know, just like some of us do. All of us do. And the morning after my wife and I got married in the rural Chihuahuan desert in southwest Texas near the Mexican border, Pickle was mauled by another dog that was a resident at this place where we had our wedding. And she had 200 stitches. She weighed about 9 pounds, so that's a lot of stitches. And she got mauled because she was digging a hole, and this dog got up in her business, and she wasn't having that. So she picked a fight. She didn't win. somehow, because of her great spirit, she survived. It's impossible. How did this dog survive? It's impossible. But she did. And about a year later, maybe 2 years later, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. So this is one thing when you're a human being and you have two breasts. But when you're a dachshund and you have 10... it's serious business. So a few were removed, and then the cancer came back. So then they all got removed. So you can imagine the sort of surgery that entails. So she was basically cut open from her collarbone to her hip bone, which in a dachshund is the whole thing, on both sides. So she was a real Franken puppy for a while there, but she survived that. And And she started kind of going downhill recently, not eating and getting a little weaker, and we couldn't get a good diagnosis. But finally, we could tell she was sort of pushing in her chips. She was ready to leave the game. So we had a wonderful experience last night with this great bodhisattva who came to our house, a veterinarian. Who's devoted her career and her life now to going to people's homes and helping their animals of all kinds to have a peaceful and joyous departure from this life. Because she had animals when she was younger and was very traumatized by the way they were treated at the end of their life. And she wanted to make it better. So I feel very privileged to have witnessed this activity. Much like I feel as privileged as if I'd watched her birth. I've seen people die too, and it's watching this animal leave was no more or less moving or significant than watching any of us two-legged animals so I wanted to talk a little bit. I don't know how I could have talked about anything else but this matter of life and death. Sometimes we get closer to it, we rub up against it a little more intimately, and sometimes we're a little further away. But even as Taigen teaches us, even being further away, you're still very close to it, and that's the whole thing. And but I want to speak to the position of being very close to it. And I just reached for the Blue Cliff record last night, and I just kind of casually opened it, almost absent-mindedly, as I was laying with Pickle in her last hours, and I found a case, just opened to this case. It's a wonderful case, the 18th case. For those of you who are unfamiliar, the Blue Cliff Record is one of a compendium of teaching stories, Zen teaching stories, that was compiled many hundreds of years ago in China. And are really the repository of our tradition and the foundation of our tradition. So these teaching stories are often referred to and used, and in fact the teaching stories themselves are quite short, but they're commented on by subsequent teachers. So a one paragraph story here is a 8 pages long with the commentaries and whatnot. Emperor Su Zong asked national teacher Wei Zheng. So imagine the emperor and there's a national teacher, a great monk, a Mahatma. After you die, what will you need? The national teacher said, build a seamless monument for me. The emperor said, please tell me, master, what the monument would look like. And the national teacher was silent for a long time. And I think he was probably silent, much like we've been silent this morning. I'd like to honor that silence for a minute. I like to think maybe he sat a long time, like it says. Maybe he sat for an hour. Maybe he sat for 2 hours in silence. So venerated, so respected by the emperor, that maybe the emperor just sat there silently too. Everyone sat there. I can imagine there must have been a whole court just waiting. This great teacher just sat there dropping off body and mind. And after some time, he just simply said, "Do you understand?" The emperor said, "I don't understand." It's a good answer. The national teacher said, "I have a disciple to whom I have transmitted the teaching, Don Yuan, who is well versed in this matter. Please summon him and ask him about it." Which I really like. He sort of... So this teacher, Wei Zhong, was very venerated. He had just lived in monasteries and practiced for many decades before he was sought out by the emperor and made the national teacher. So it's not as if he was... He wasn't a city mouse. So he gave it his best shot. He gave it the ultimate teaching. He gave it his whole being. He showed the whole thing. But the emperor still didn't understand. And that's much like us, you know? The fact that I have to even speak today is already, as my first teacher, Sung San, used to say, The arrow has already passed downtown. That was his Keringlish. It was an image that he got while driving with his students on the freeway. And what he really meant was, "We've already missed the exit." But what he said was, the arrow has already passed downtown. And that's perfect for a Zen, because the words don't have to be in the right order. And the meaning still comes across. So the fact that I'm speaking, the arrow has already passed downtown. Just like now the emperor doesn't understand, but Wei Zhong is compassionate. He doesn't say, "Well then, tough luck, buddy." He's like, "I have a student." Maybe the student is a different kind of person. Necessarily so. Just like teachers and their disciples, is like what Taigen and all of us, we have different capacities and different gifts. So Wei Zhong recognized that maybe his student, this was an opportunity for his student to demonstrate his understanding and also to help the emperor. So some time must have passed, and the national teacher, Wei Zhong, passed away. And so the emperor summoned his student, Don Yuan, and asked him what the meaning of the statement, "Build a seamless monument for me," was. Because this was the time. So he's gone, now we have to build this monument, but it's supposed to be seamless. The master's only description of the monument was no description at all. So Don Yuan came and he said, "South of Zhang, north of Tan. In between, there's gold sufficient to a nation. Beneath the shadowless tree, the community ferry boat. Within the crystal palace, there's no one who knows." So I'll read it again. South of Zhang, north of Tan. So maybe we can say, south of Antarctica and north of the North Pole. In between, there's gold sufficient to a nation. Beneath the shadowless tree, the community ferry boat. Within the crystal palace, there's no one who knows. So each one of these lines is what we could say is a turning phrase or a koan in itself that we could meditate upon and try to understand. And if we understand that one line completely, then we understand the meaning of Weizhong's silence completely. So there is some commentary here from another teacher named Shui Do, who added comments for each of these lines. So I'll read those. South of Zhang, north of Tan, Shui Do added the comment, a single hand does not make a random sound. In between, there's gold sufficient to a nation, Shui Do added the comment, a rough-hewn staff. Beneath the shadowless tree, the community ferry boat, Shui Do added, the sea is calm, the rivers are clear. Within the crystal palace, there's no one who knows, Shui Do said, he has raised it up. So these images, we have to let them sort of evoke feelings and pictures in our minds and our hearts. And it's these lines, they're about the whole of our life and the whole of our death. And in the commentary, in one of the other teachers' commentaries after this, it says, if you understand even one of these lines, you have sufficient understanding to live a joyous life, live a complete life. And I like to, I mean, I've been thinking about these in terms of Pickle's understanding and her teaching to us. So, what does it mean there's gold sufficient to a nation? So we say north of Zhang, or south of Zhang, north of Tan, we could say between the front door to the Zendo and the back door to the Zendo. Between those, there's gold sufficient to a nation. What is this nation? This nation is the whole of your life. We could say from the front of our cushion to the back of our cushion, there's gold sufficient to a nation. Shui Do added the comment, a rough-hewn staff. So maybe, you know, Taigen was here, he'd hold up his staff. Be banging on the floor. So gold sufficient to a nation is a rough-hewn staff. Beneath the shadowless tree, the community ferry boat. I like this image a lot. This really evokes something, I think, very deep. A shadowless tree, a community ferry boat. I think Pickle took the community ferry boat last night. And someday all of us will take the community ferry boat. Maybe we're taking it right now. Maybe this is the community ferry boat. Between that door and that door. Between this side of the cushion and this side of the cushion. Between this side of the skin bag and the other side of the skin bag. Beneath a shadowless tree. What tree has no shadow? I really like Shui Do's comment to this. He says, the sea is calm, the rivers are clear. That is liberation. That is the promise of this potential for awakening. That it's not just a trail of tears. There's calm, you know, there's the potential for calm in our minds, in our hearts, even in the midst of the most tumultuous business. The sea is calm, the rivers are clear. And then the last line is, within the crystal palace, there's no one who knows. Within the crystal palace, what is this crystal palace? Well, maybe we might say it's a bamboo hut, 10 feet square. Maybe it's a storefront Zendo on Irving Park Road. Maybe it's, again, just an assemblage of bones and meat. It's a little electric charge running through it. And within that crystal palace, there's no one who knows. There's no one who knows. So what can you say? But, yeah, we have to say something sometimes. But it's a great relief. It's a great relief to admit that you don't know. And fundamentally, we can't know. It's such a great relief. And yet something knows. Or the thing, the one that doesn't know, leads us through our not knowing. Leads us through the illusion of our knowing to the truth. The truth of our life and our death. So, I'll just read it again for you. Emperor Su Zong asked National Teacher Wei Zhong, after you die, what will you need? Such a great question. After you die, what will you need? The National Teacher said, build a seamless monument for me. The Emperor said, please tell me, Master, what the monument will look like. I think of him being very earnest here, you know. He's an emperor, and they're used to building these giant tombs and monuments. Maybe there are some people still alive today who think when they die there should be a big monument to them. Of some kind. And the emperor said, please tell me, Master, what the monument would look like. The national teacher was silent for a long time, dropping off body and mind, I think. Then he asked, do you understand? The emperor said, I don't understand. The national teacher said, I have a disciple to whom I have transmitted the teaching, Don Yuan, who is well versed in this matter. Please summon him and ask him about it. After the national teacher passed on, the emperor summoned Don Yuan and asked him what the meaning of this was. Don Yuan said, south of Zhang, north of Tan, in between there's gold sufficient to a nation. Beneath the shadowless tree, the community ferry boat. Within the crystal palace, there's no one who knows. So I thank you for listening. I thank you for your support. I feel your support, you know, for my talking and for my crying and for my practice. And I hope I can support you in your practice, and we can support each other in our practice. This great matter of life and death. That's why we're here. That's why we came today. So thank you very much. Are there any comments, questions? Yeah, Jeremy.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Human Buddha says like a lot of things. Sit zazen. Genesis 4 and 4 of emptiness. Lots of stuff. But Dog Buddha says things that are a little, maybe sometimes, a little bit confusing, or are sometimes difficult to pierce and see the true meaning. And it's a
Sometimes they bite you. It's not so hard to pierce.
Well, maybe sometimes it's even harder to see. But it's awesome to consider these other beings in these other worlds as possible vessels for liberation. It's great to hear that.
Yeah, it's necessary to know that because it's the truth. You know, all of our teaching, all of the entire Mahayana, especially maybe Zen tradition, we don't make these distinctions. We don't get caught up in them. They exist. They're dogs, they're human beings, but does the dog have Buddha nature? I always think of the, because I was trained in this Korean style, the Korean sound for barking is wong, wong, wong. Wong, wong, wong. I just saw on Facebook somebody posted all the translations from different countries. I mean, they just couldn't be further from wolf, wolf. But, you know, these are Dharma utterances in whatever language. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm also very sorry to learn of the passing of Pickle. I had the great pleasure to meet Pickle actually on a couple of occasions, and she really did strike me as a very special being that I always marveled how someone who was so tiny could seem so huge. And you're excuse me, talk about life and death and the Crystal Palace and the community ferry boat really spoke to me about how, you know, none of us knows really what it is that we're all doing here or how long it is that we have or so many other different questions. But Pickle was one of those great reminders of someone who, you know, just could give themselves to every moment, just fully. I mean, you know, she just would be just fully there from what very, very little experience that I had of her. And I know you and Rachel will really both miss her. And yet, I imagine that she will stay with you still.
I was telling Rachel last night about the story of, I can't remember which teacher it was that was dying, but all of his students were gathered around his bed and they were all just weeping and saying, "Don't leave us, don't leave us, what will we do?" And he was like, "Where would I go?" I like that a lot. So, yeah, we looked at a picture we took a picture as she was in her last few minutes. And I took a picture of her. Rachel was holding her. And I showed it to Rachel afterwards. And she's like, "My God, she's so tiny." You just... And I often comment, we have another dog, Charlie. And as I'm, and we just... We say to each other, like, "Oh, he's big today. Oh, look how small he is today." And it's like that with Pickle, too. You know, "Oh, she's so big today. Oh, she's so small." We think it's one size, we put them on a scale and we measure them and then we know their size. We know our own size. But we know, we look in the mirror. Some days we're very shiny, sometimes we're very dull, sometimes we're big, sometimes we're small. Luckily, we have a refuge in a practice that allows us to acknowledge these realities. So that we aren't just driven, beaten along like, you know, like lemmings over the cliff of pure materialism. Yeah. Just a purely material understanding of reality, you know. But then also I like Zen because, you know, that's it, you know. It's just that. Yes.
Thank you for sharing with us today about loss reminds me of an interview I heard. A man once, who's someone he loved, had died. And he said, you know, grief is the tax that we pay on love. Mm. And I think he probably also said that he gladly would pay that tax for the love that he had shared. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a heavy tax, but we have to pay it for the good of the nation, right? For the land north of the North Pole and south of the South Pole. I remember a monk that I knew, he said, I practice Zazen to pay for my breath and my food. That stuck with me. But also we risk loving, you know, to pay for our breath and our food. We have to.